Radio Daily.
For halfway day. Look, we're getting there. You know, and each and every little bit takes us to the future, and eventually the future has to be bright and hopeful again. You just got to believe that. You really, really do. Welcome to the 17th of October, 2018. Tis all the geek without the wait. Good morning, hello, and how the hell do you be? We be the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of crazy places. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the most annoying morning person you'll ever meet. In fact, when you see him in the morning, he'll say those words to you. He says to everybody, it's Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Whoa, somebody had a big piece of grouchy pie this morning.
You just need to stop it. Everyone's not as bright and cheerful as you. Hi, I'm the guy that lives by a set of rules, and I will not back down from them. I am the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Cartoon bears never wear pants.
Never! What happened this fine day, sir?
That's just because I'm so high on life.
In 1604, German astronomer Johannes Kepler observes that an exceptionally bright star had suddenly appeared in the constellation Ophiuchus, the last supernova to have been observed in our own galaxy, the Milky Way.
1881, Bell and Tainter donates a sound recording machine to the Smithsonian Institute that uses jets of air to inscribe sounds.
Bell and Tainter, I believe, are the stars of the adult version of Beauty and the Beast.
Tale as old as time.
A taint as old as time.
That's even better.
In 1885, a steel-making process is patented by Sir Henry Bessemer, a British inventor and metallurgist. He patented a method of making steel, which makes it possible to mass-produce steel inexpensively.
Oh, gosh, Richmond trivia players, don't you wish this was part of yesterday's history? 1888, Thomas Edison files a patent for the first movie projector, the optical phonograph, which projects images just 1/32 inch across. Edison claims it will do for the eye what the phonograph does for the ear.
Turns out he stole that patent from Stephen Phonograph. 1907, the first commercial transatlantic wireless telegraph service established by Guglielmo Marconi is officially inaugurated.
1919, RCA is incorporated as the Radio Corporation of America. Before that, they were just three random letters, and they made it mean something.
Real creative Americans. 1933, Albert Einstein immigrates to the United States, fleeing his former home of Nazi Germany.
Huh. Well, then, I learned something. 1948, the first television color film series, Ford Theater premieres with the episode The Storm on NBC.
1949, in the United States, the toll dialing networks on the East and West Coast are joined for the first time. To encourage use of the network, toll coupon books will be sold for gifts during the Christmas season.
Call those people that moved away from you. 1956, the first commercial nuclear power station is officially opened by Queen Elizabeth II in Sellafield in Cumbria, England.
1957, the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, states its intention of allowing subscription television experiments under certain conditions.
If they get kickbacks. 1962, Nick Holonyak Jr. publishes the first paper describing light-emitting diodes.
1969, George Smith and William Boyle of Bell Labs invent the charge-coupled device, the image sensor upon which digital cameras will later be based, while attempting to develop a new kind of computer memory for computers.
1975, in the UK, the sci-fi TV series Space, 1999, premieres with the episode Breakaway, and that 70s intro, man, that's some magic.
1990, Cole Needham and some of his friends launches the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, as the rec.arts.movies movie database. The site, which will grow into one of the most visited websites on the internet, initially begins as a collection of Unix shell scripts which can be used to search for lists. An actor's list, an actress list, a director's list, and a dead actor's actresses list. By the end of the year, the list will include nearly 10,000 movies and television series, and of course, be the ultimate cheat sheet for anybody playing Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
2006, Megan Meyer, age 13, of Missouri, commits suicide by hanging herself in her bedroom closet after being harassed on MySpace. Now, she had had ADD for, let's say, she was in the third grade and was being treated for it. In 2008, Lori Drew, age 49, would be indicted for bullying her because she created a fake account as a 16-year-old boy. She'll later be acquitted on all of that, but eventually, Congresswoman Linda Sanchez will introduce the Megan Meyer Cyberbullying Prevention Act in her honor to amend Title 18 of the United States Code to criminalize the use of the internet for harassment, because who the hell does something like that?
It's the internet. It's supposed to be a collection of fun things.
And
don't
porn.
Dick on the internet.
You look at them, you don't be one.
Exactly. Well, I think we've got our new clip for the Parsec Awards next year. 2007, retail giant Best Buy announces that as of October 1st, its stores have discontinued sales of all models of analog televisions and pulled all unsold stock from the shelves of its stores.
2008, 20th Century Fox releases the action film Max Payne, directed by John Moore, starring Marky Mark, not Mark Wahlberg, and Mila Kunis. It's based on the video game Max Payne. It made $17 million domestically. It didn't do well.
They barely made half of their budget.
Did you see it? No, nobody did. Birthdays?
Max Irons, 33 years old, from Red Riding Hood, The White Queen, The Host.
Felicity Jones is 35, from The Worst Witch, Tempest, Amazing Spider-Man 2, Theory of Everything, Inferno, and Star Wars, Rogue One.
Alimi Ballard, 41 years old, from Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Dark Angels, Numbers, CSO, which could potentially be a spinoff of CSI.
Mark Gatiss is 52, from The League of Gentlemen. He is Mycroft and Sherlock, Tycho in Game of Thrones, and is helping to bring about that Dracula show we talked about the other day.
Yeah, again, he's big in writing and stuff like that. Somebody who, some of his stuff holds up a lot better than others. Mr. Norm Macdonald, 55 years old, from Saturday Night Live, The Norm Show, Billy Madison, Dirty Work, Dr. Doolittle, The Mike Tyson Mysteries, The Orville. He's been an amazing stand-up comedian. He's got a new show on Netflix. I adore him. Some of his previous stuff, maybe not so much.
Hey, I like how you did that. Guy Henry is 58, from V for Vendetta, Pious, and Deathly Hallows 1 and 2.
George Wendt, 70 years old, from Airplane 2, House, Gung Ho, and of course was Norm on Cheers.
Paxton Whitehead is 81 years of age, from Back to School, Jumping Jack Flash, Boris and Natasha, Ellen, and Mad About You.
Julie Adams, 92 years old, from The Creature from the Black Lagoon and Eve on Murder, She Wrote.
No longer with us, born this date in 1900, Gene Arthur from The Return of Fu Manchu, Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. She liked the misters.
1902, Irene Ryan, Granny on The Beverly Hillbillies.
1914, Jerry Siegel, co-creator of Superman.
1921, Tom Poston from Happy Hooker, Up the Academy, Mork and Mindy, Newhart, and The Princess Diaries 2.
1926, Beverly Garland from My Three Sons, Scarecrow and Mrs. King, and Seventh Heaven.
1938, Evel Knievel, painter, entertainer, American stunt performer, and if you watch any documentary, a huge jerk.
Pretty much. 1948, Margot Kidder from Black Christmas, Amityville Horror, and of course, Lois Lane in the incredibly wonderful, most fantastic version of Superman ever.
On television on CBS, we've got a new Survivor, SEAL Team, and Criminal Minds.
ABC, it's new Goldbergs, American Housewife, Modern Family, Single Parents, and a million little things.
On NBC, get you Chicago. We got the Meds, the Fires, and the PDs.
Tonight, it's a new Shy Try. Fox, it's a new Empire and Star.
CW, a gruesome discovery is made in the forest on a new Riverdale and the premiere of All American.
Freeform will be showing Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. It's not bad, but the Angela Lansbury version, much better.
I do like it. AMC, Curse of Chucky and Cult of Chucky. Get all of your Chuckies, because those are the ones with Jennifer Tilly. It's all you need.
There you go. Comedy Central has a new episode of South Park. Who knows what it's about? They're not even finished making it yet.
Discovery Channel, Hunt for Extraterrestrials Part 1, The New Expedition Unknown.
FX is showing Don't Breathe, and then finally, The Return to Murder House on American Horror Story Apocalypse.
FXX, The Gang does a clip show on It's Always Sunny.
FXM will be showing The Martian.
That's here. IFC has Little Nicky, because Devil, Halloween, sure winner.
Hey, Paramount's going to be showing Beetlejuice, followed by, nope, ain't going there. Ha ha ha. I see you, Paramount. Smart.
Sci-Fi has Cabin in the Woods. Look, right there. Those two movies. Take your pick. You've got a fantastic Halloween right there.
Turner Classic Movies will be showing The Walking Dead. That's the 1936 version. Yes, that comic book is that old.
TBS has the 2018 MOLB playoffs.
TNT has The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
Science Channel has Quantum Leaps and a new Outrageous Acts of Science.
Oh boy. But we're watching the Hallmark Channel. When a country girl is eager to finish her dissertation and find romance, her dreams of adventure are satisfied after she receives the unexpected news. Her father's inherited a large estate and royal title. Cindy Busby, Andrew Cooper, and James Brolin all have royal hearts.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Gabby takes her plan to another level. She even puts Nurse Cratchit on her payroll. Jennifer wants Stefan to stay away from Abby, and he's like, look, I don't care about her. I just hang out with G Abby. Sierra and Trip are thrown when they come upon Claire and Ben conspiring. Hot, sweaty, conspiring. Hope shares with Rafe her theory about the planet evidence. I believe it was done in early spring and is ready to be harvested now. Hashtag Jabby. Forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
But of course we do. As a public service to the people with no taste, I, Matricula, will happily adopt all of your unwanted candy corn. Well, let me challenge that statement for a second, Matricula. You're going to adopt it, you're going to take it and raise it and nurture it as if it's your own loved one, and you're not going to just sit in the dark and eat it while listening to The Cure? Come on, tell the truth!
Oh, no. It's not gummy worms. She can't be around gummy worms. She has never met a gummy worm that she didn't just immediately shove into her gullet and have a delighted smile on her face and a slight bead of sweat, pleasure, and joy as she's chewing on the poor innards of the gumminess.
So, you know, if you've got a bunch of candy corn that you'd like to donate, apparently to Matricula to adopt so they can sit around and watch the family classics like The Fifth Element, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could send us a voicemail extolling all the virtues of each and every piece of candy corn you have, and to warn us which one's the bad one by dialing
510-GRD-CROW.
And it's not that I have no taste, I just have really good taste.
Why should I listen to the Nerd Bliss podcast?
Because we go there.
Where?
Everywhere.
Human sexuality.
They don't care what's in your pants, they love you anyway.
Time travelers.
The problem is, time will f*** back with you.
Politics and fandom.
What Star Wars has been prior to Disney. It is a white male-driven universe.
Find us at nerdblisspodcast.com.
And on social media at nerdblisspod. Part of this complete breakfast and the ESO Network.
The Nerd Bliss Podcast.
Listen!
This is Aaron Sheik. You listen to the Geek Radio Daily.
Or else. Something like that. Hey, welcome back to it. Halfway day means it's time to hit the comic shop.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Oh, dude, what have they pulled for us today?
From DC Comics, we've got cover 2 of 6. Apparently, that's it. Just cover. You're just getting the cover of a comic book. We've also got Justice League Dark number 4, Sideways number 9, and Lucifer is Missing. Having embarked on a dangerous journey to find the mother of his abandoned son, the Prince of Lies finds himself imprisoned and crippled by mysterious forces who seek to torment him for their own terrible ends. Meanwhile, a car has crashed, 2 witches blind themselves, a tumor speaks its first words, and a perfectly good bowl of oatmeal is left to go cold. In Lucifer, number 1.
Oh, I found him. He's over at this Netflix place. Marvel, Infinity Wars, Weapon Hex, number 1 of 2. Unstoppable Wasp kicks off a 5-issue miniseries. What If, Ghost Rider, number 1. But years after an incurable virus ravaged the world, a small colony of survivors is protected by the Marvel U's few remaining heroes, including Spider-Man, Daredevil, Falcon. But when their last chance at salvation arrives, will they be willing to sacrifice their own humanity? In the process, it's Marvel Zombie. Number 1.
Dynamite Entertainment has Deja Thoris, number 9. Red Sonja, 22. Xena, number 9. From Boom Studios, we've got Lumberjanes, 55. Steven Universe, 21. Welcome to Wanderland, 2 of 4. And Garfield and the gang head out to an audition for a new reality show. Meanwhile, a night in turns terrifying as a creature reaches through the television and into John's living room. In Garfield TV or not TV, number 1.
Titan Comics, Millennium, The Girl Who Danced with Death wraps up its 3. Tank Girl, Full Color Classics, 1989 to 1990, number 2. From IDW Publishing, Ghostbusters Crossing Over, number 7. Real Science Adventures, The Nicodemus Job, number 4. Over at Archie Comics, it's Archie 1941, number 2 of 5. And then Once Upon a Time, Betty and Veronica weren't just your average teens. They were princesses, empresses, and magical snow queens. You've never seen fairy tales presented quite like this in Betty and Veronica, Friends Forever, storybook number 1.
From Valiant, we've got Quantum and Woody, number 11. Dark Horse, Bedtime Games, number 4 of 4. Black Hammer, Age of Doom, number 6. Neil Gaiman's American Gods, My Ansel, number 7. From Silver Sprocket, we have a sentimental girl-oriented sci-fi adventure about clones, math, a gigantic fish, and ambition in a future where AI do mostly everything. This is the debut long form from webcomic superstar Olivia Watch in You Can Try Again, One Shot.
American Mythology Productions presents The Three Stooges, Monsters and Mayhem, number 1. And Larry's Running Around Like the Bride of Frankenstein. Image Comics, Aphrodite V, number 4 of 4. Cemetery Beach, 2 of 7. Hit Girl, number 9. But hey, did you sign a deal with the devil? Has your fiancé been dragged to hell? Then Kate and Kate, that's K&C, Harrow, should be the first ones you call for timely soul retrieval at a reasonable rate. But why are these identical twins so different? Is there a darker secret? Find out in Exorcisters, number 1.
That's a great name.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Now, we talked about this year's Arrowverse crossover and how awesome that's going to be.
How awesome it's going to be to see Ruby Rose in a Batwoman outfit.
True. Some folks were a trifle upset when they learned, however, that Legends of Tomorrow would not be part of the Elseworlds crossover. Some folks felt cheated. Not to worry, though. Legends of Tomorrow is going to have its own crossover. That's cool, right?
Crossover with what?
I told you. Its own crossover.
Black Lightning?
No. Legends of Tomorrow is going to cross over with Legends of Tomorrow.
What sorcerical chicanery is this?
This particular episode is insane, Legends head Katie Lotz said. I think they wanted to do something special since we're not going to be doing the Elseworlds crossovers. And if you're thinking, how can they have a crossover with themselves, then you need to watch more Doctor Who.
Jodie Whittaker is pretty amazing.
Damn right. The Epi will traverse alternate time periods. No idea what it's all about, but you got to imagine it has something to do with saving the timeline, maybe learning a little something about themselves, helping out everybody around there, not stepping in that damn puddle. Bing!
The Jim Henson Company, the puppet-based production house behind Fraggle Rock, The Dark Crystal, and Labyrinth, has come on board Knights of Pantera, a Canadian live-action series based on the Dino Knights kids books by Jeff Norton.
Oh, I do love their bread bowls.
No, not Panera. Omnifilm Entertainment, which produced The Bletchley Circle, San Francisco, for BritBox, ITV, City, and Netflix, and the Jim Henson Company, will jointly develop the family series set in a fantasy world where dinosaurs never went extinct.
Barney is the villain, isn't he?
Fair shot. As evil descends on the small town of Brim, four ill-equipped teens facing impossible odds combine their unique skills to become freedom fighters and save their kingdom from ruthless invaders. It's every kid's dream to have a dinosaur as a pet, and Knights of Pantera realizes that dream with beautiful realism, said Haley Stanford, president of television for the Jim Henson Company, in a statement. Founded in 1955 by puppeteer Jim Henson as Muppets Incorporated, the Jim Henson Company was behind the popular variety series The Muppet Show, which ran for 5 seasons, Julie's Green Room, which starred Julie Andrews, and Sid the Science Kid are just a few of the company's recent TV credits. A Dark Crystal prequel series, The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance, is also in production for Netflix. So until then, enjoy the Knights of Pantera.
R.I.P. Dimebag Darrell.
And watch their quest as they approach the cemetery gates, shout with a mouth for war, and hopefully never have to say, I'm broken.
Currently, Disney is turning every one of its old animated classics into live-action movies.
Well, everything but Once Upon a Forest.
I did say classics. Meanwhile, though, Warner Brothers is starting to mine its own Toon archives for possible film adaptation ideas. We told you they had the Wile E. Coyote movie coming up. A Space Jam sequel is pretty much inevitable. But next up on the bench there is Hanna-Barbera's Tom and Jerry, the heartwarming tale of a cat and mouse who has spent almost 80 years trying to kill each other.
Will they finally showcase Tom as the hero he's always been? Look, trying to keep that family's house vermin-free? Jerry isn't a mouse, he's a rat. A filthy rat who is known to not only use a fencing foil, but actually know how to use it. He even had a baby rat with him. Although, who he actually banged to get the little one, I don't know.
Issues, man. You got him. Expected to blend live action with CG animation, Tom and Jerry's movie will be directed by Tim Story, you know, from Ride Along and Fantastic Four. And the two leads will thankfully both stay silent.
But Richard Kind will always be Tom to me.
Tim Story is also working on his Shaft sequel/reboot, So the film isn't expected to go into production until at least next summer, with a late 2020 release already penciled in.
Unless they want to make Tom and Jerry and Shaft.
You're damn right. Tom and Jerry started in 1940, putting up 164 original shorts for various different studios, getting 7 Academy Awards, overtaking Looney Tunes in the early 60s to become the highest-grossing animated short film series of all time. Of course, the new Tom and Jerry film won't be the Cat and Mouse's first feature, with Tom and Jerry the movie released in 1992, starring Richard Kind, followed by a string of straight-to-video releases. The duo's last one, Tom and Jerry, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, came out last year and is horrible. It was so bad it snapped a mousetrap on the franchise as a whole. Cat and Mouse gonna be live action ham bone.
That's what we call an obscure reference, kids.
Even for me.
NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory, the CXO, is back online after being locked in safe mode last week.
I told them just unplug it and plug it back in.
On October 10th, the telescope automatically entered a safe configuration, swapping critical hardware to backup units and changing direction for optimal solar panel charging. Officials were quick to point out that all systems functioned as expected in the abrupt transition, and the scientific instruments are safe.
Aliens!
Launched in July of 1999, Chandra is one of the so-called Great Observatories, along with the Hubble Space Telescope, Compton Gamma Ray Observatory, and Spitzer Space Telescope. A set of high-tech mirrors make Chandra's sensitivity to X-ray sources 100 times fainter than previous instruments of its kind. Its initial 5-year mission has long since expired. CXO has been floating through space for nearly 20 years with no end in sight.
20 years of Windows updates? No wonder it went down.
On Monday, NASA reported that a glitch in one of Chandra's gyroscopes created a domino effect throughout the facility. A 3-second period of bad data led the onboard computer to calculate an incorrect value for the spacecraft momentum, which ultimately triggered safe mode. The cosmic hiccup came just days after the Hubble telescope entered safe mode itself, following the failure of one of its 3 active gyroscopes.
Coincidence?
I think not.
Seriously, just unplug it and plug it back in. Microsoft co-founder, Seahawks owner Paul Allen has died from complications associated with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma at age 65. Vulcan CEO Bill Hiff said Paul had a tremendously huge vision of how to improve the world, and a big part of our forward plans are to help realize that vision and to continue what he wanted to get done. It's logical. Allen announced 2 weeks ago his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was back 9 years after he was first treated for the disease. He wrote in a blog post he'd begun undergoing treatment and planned to fight it aggressively. Non-Hodgkin's is a cancer, F cancer, that starts in white blood cells. Allen and co-founder Bill Gates met while attending a private school in North Seattle. They would drop out of college to pursue the future they envision, a world with a computer in every home, meaning houses would have to be so much bigger. Gates believed in it so much he left Harvard University in his junior year to devote himself full-time to his and Allen's startup originally called Micro-Soft. Allen spent 2 years at Washington State University before dropping out as well. They founded the company in Albuquerque, and their first product was a computer language for the Altair Hobby Kit personal computer, giving hobbyists a basic way to program and operate the machine. Allen's philanthropic contributions exceed $2 billion, according to his website. In March of 2017, he committed $30 million to fighting homelessness in Seattle by creating new housing. He pledged $100 million in 2014 to fight the Ebola crisis. He was awarded the Carnegie Medal of Philanthropy in 2015 for all of his efforts. He brought us computers. He tried to help the world. Thank you so much. And that is why, if you share this story on your social media page, his foundation will give you $10,000.
I think that's spam.
I saw it on Facebook. It has to be true.
Look, those are just like the ones when Bill Gates was going to do it, that he didn't do that. He gave $1 billion.
Actually,
because of that,
Bill Gates, when reached for comment, said, "There can be only one." GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Send us a voicemail, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or you can always send that voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
Now go do something on your computer. Remember, look at, don't be one. That's simply how it works.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
No, it must not end like this.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
Good night, suckers.
Damage averted. All systems operative.
The office.
What are you doing here?
I have a grievance.
How'd you get into my office?
I'm Jell.
Right. Well, what's on your mind?
I want to know why you guys put John in charge of the science team instead of me.
Commander Grayson and I both feel that Lieutenant Lamar deserves to be in the running for chief engineer.
What? You gotta be kidding me. What the hell has that son of a bitch ever done to deserve anything?
No final decisions have been made, and I'm aware that you're next in line for the job, but we have our reasons for considering him.
It's because I'm gelatinous, isn't it? You guys can't handle the thought of a gelatinous person in charge of a department.
Yaphet, that is not it.
This is so racist, man. You're so friggin' racist.
I am not. I have several gelatinous friends.
This is a bunch of crap, man. This is total crap. Permission to return to duty.
Granted.
You know what? There was less crap in Bordas's colon.